This week on the podcast, forgiveness. Will anybody cheer for that? Hey! How can we become someone with the superpower to forgive? It ain't easy.
And I will give you one exercise to try out that superpower. Wait till the end. You're not going to want to miss it on today's episode of Just These Guys, you know.
I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And it's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
It's a good day to have a good day. How are you doing, Doc?
I am burning up.
Burning up.
My face is on fire.
Your face is on fire.
Yes, it is.
Why is your face on fire?
Well, for those who have not seen me in a couple of weeks, I started a treatment for skin cancer. I've had it. I've known about it. I've probably had it for a long time, but I've known about it a number of years ago. I had a spot on my face, and they diagnosed it as basal cell carcinoma. They cut it out, took a big hole out of my head, stretched me up, gave me a facelift, and after that, they said every 6 months, go in and we'll zap, you know, the little budding ones, and then at some point, a couple of years into it, they said, we'll do this instead, and they gave me this cream, this cancer-fighting chemical, and every few years, I will put it on for 3 to 4 weeks, and I look like Hellraiser and feel like it.
Yeah, if it...
It's a bit of a shocking look.
I will say it is a bit of a shocking look. It's not ridiculous, but it has to... I used to break out in a rash. And I'm telling you, it came on out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
They could never figure out what it was.
Sure.
It went away as fast as it came on. Never figured out what it was,
right?
But that's exactly what it looked like.
Okay.
And it was all over my body though.
I've got diaper rash.
Yeah. But and it would make my skin really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that cannot be comfortable.
It is not.
So,
and for those of you who are listening, the reason we're talking about it is just simply a public service announcement to talk to your kids, your grandkids, and tell them to put on SPF 50 every single time they go outside in the sun. Otherwise, they will look like this. And I'm about to set on my headphones and go to the camera. So in a few weeks, when this hits YouTube, you can see just how nightmarish skin cancer treatment can look. Here we go.
Focus. Well, so how is the treatment going?
It is obviously going well.
It's doing its job.
Now, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but you notice the forehead is kind of clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I told you that I wear the bandana when I go out in the sun.
Yeah.
And that's what it looks like when you cover up. And this is what it looks like where you don't cover up.
Gotcha.
So do cover up out in the sun. Do wear SPF 50 or higher. I know it's cool to have a nice tan. I had one for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the end result. So,
Well.
Just start putting your money away if you're not going to wear SPF 50.
Well, I stand before you today and I can honestly say I am terrible at putting on sunscreen.
I have a treatment for you. We're changing subjects now.
Okay.
I told you last week about something I purchased to help clear the congestion, the chest congestion.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in a sample for you. Now, I'm going to pour it in this glass, and you are to pour it into your mouth. Don't swallow it right away. Kind of gargle it around a little bit. And then you can swallow it. And I do this twice a day. And I'm only giving you half a dose. So Mike is looking it over, inspecting it.
Now, explain.
Afterwards, I'll tell you the ingredients. Go ahead.
After.
It's right here.
And you'll tell me what it's for.
Yeah. Well, I just did. Chest congestion. Well, It has a kind of a pond scum green color to it. There's a reason for that.
It's starting to look like everything you're giving.
It's healthy. Now, swirl it around. Do you recognize the taste? I recognize that face. You recognize the taste.
I recognize it as a taste that I will never taste again.
whenever you've been out mowing the lawn and your lawnmower gets clogged up and you reach underneath and you grab and you pull all those weeds and everything out from under the blade and then it gets on your hands and then you accidentally get it in your mouth.
Accidentally?
Yeah.
That was an accident.
That was not accident. But it's going back for seconds.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
It is Golden Seal Root Neem, Old Man Beard, Yellow Dock Root, Guaco, Guinea Henweed, and a little oregano. It is literally a bunch of weeds.
It was the oregano that I was taking. Yeah. Huh.
Now, Tish got a chest cold or flu or something. She just couldn't shake for weeks, and she went to this gentleman whose name is Tea Room on East Central, and he makes holistic remedies from things found in your backyard.
I guess.
But the crazy thing is it works. She, you know, modern medicine could not clear up her chest congestion. And she did this and boom, is gone. And so I said, well, you know, I've always got that little bit of going on. Let me try it. And it worked. So I went back about a big jug.
Well, I remember last time we were together, you said, did you hear me clear my throat at all?
Right.
And I was over here going. And I was like, you know what? At one point I had noticed.
When I went through the editing process, it was quite obvious.
Yeah.
And this is what I, you know, spent a half hour doing in the past, was just editing out the throat clears and the coughs. And
okay, so you do that twice a day?
Do it twice a day.
And how long did she do that before she noticed a difference?
Oh, noticed a difference? She probably noticed a difference within a couple of days, and it was cleared up in a week.
And so this is something that you can tell them where they can get this again?
Okay, we're going to hit pause.
You can put it up, yeah.
The answer to your question is Happy Tea House. And it is on, it is at 5761 East Central. So across from the old Spears, I think.
Okay. Any idea that if he does anything online?
Don't know. Just walk in the door.
For our folks in all the countries. Yeah, in Australia.
I don't think this stuff would ship real well. I don't think it would hold up.
So it's in liquid form?
Mm-hmm.
Like this, just like this.
Right.
It was in this bottle.
He mixed it up on the spot for me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. It's not in a...
So did he actually, was he standing there and did he take a pair of scissors and go...
Trim his beard?
Trim his beard, throw a little old man beard in there? Because if he did, I'm pissed right now that you made me drink that.
No. But that, now you get to wash it down with...
Yep.
With
more pond scum.
With more pond scum from, what's his name?
Oh.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck.
So, you are thoroughly healthy now.
Whew, man. Truly feel like a new man.
Today's topic. Forgiveness.
Not the most popular topic. Amongst audience people, I don't care where you are, anytime. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, forgiveness is at the core of the Christian faith.
Sure.
It's what it's all about.
Sure.
We wouldn't have Christianity if it wasn't for forgiveness.
Love and forgive.
Absolutely.
The one commandment I give you.
It's the very reason that God decided to put on skin and come here.
Sure.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
And the one thing that I believe we struggle with the most is forgiveness. It is just something that we don't seem to do easily. Some people may be a little easier than others. But I think so much of it has to do with our life experiences, how much we've been hurt, how much we've been put in a position to have to forgive.
Right.
But when Jesus is asked by Peter, as an example, so how often do I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Do I do it seven times? And Jesus looks at him and he says, no, 77 times. So essentially he's saying however many times it takes. And then I'm sure Peter was looking at him with this look on his face like, what? How many times? He goes on to tell him, and I'm just going to, you know, paraphrase through this, but he goes on to tell him about a master who had many servants, and one of his servants came to him, and he owed him $1,000. The master had decided it was time to start to just collect some debts. He owed him $1,000, and so the servant says, I don't have it to give. And so the master says, well, okay, you need to sell your wife, your kids, your stuff, and pay it all back. And so he begs him for forgiveness. He begs him [S2] Sure. [S1] To give him an opportunity to be forgiven. And the master decides he's just going to forgive it. He forgives the debt.
Right.
And so then he leaves, and he goes out, and he runs across a fellow servant who owes him $100.
5 minutes later.
Yep. And he strangles him. It says he actually chokes him. And then he has him thrown in jail until he can pay him back.
Right.
And so the other servants are looking at him like, what?
What the?
Did you forget what happened 5 minutes ago?
Sure.
So they tell the master about this. And then the master actually goes and has him essentially thrown in prison mm-hmm. until his debt could get paid. And essentially what Jesus says then is, this is how our Heavenly Father in heaven is going to treat us unless we are willing to forgive our debts, forgive sure. our brothers and sisters. And that's not to throw a shame or a guilt or any of that on us. It's to get us to consider seriously how much our debt has been forgiven. It gets really hard to forgive someone until we realize how much we have been forgiven.
Now, you're the pastor here,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to put you on the spot. So I'm going to say what I think.
Go for it.
And you can stand there silently if you disagree with me.
No, go right ahead.
But I hear people talk about that. If you don't forgive, you're going to go to hell.
Well.
And I don't think, you know, the Bible contradicts itself that dramatically, that in one area, Jesus forgives us for all our sins for all times, but yet this is the one that's going to get you thrown in hell if you walk around in unforgiveness. I think where that comes into play, where how can your Father forgive you if you can't forgive others, is we have the opportunity to live in that unforgiveness right here, right now. We can be living in grace. We can, heaven starts today on earth.
Completely agree.
And if we, and there's a connection to the four fundamentals in all of this, if we are walking around in unforgiveness, if I'm holding resentment against you, anger and bitterness at you, I can't receive his grace today.
Yep.
I can't be in peace and joy and enjoying life abundantly if my heart is filled with anger and resentment towards somebody else. And so it's not that God won't forgive me and I'm going to go burn in the pits of hell forever and ever and ever.
Yep. No.
It is I am intentionally choosing to not receive the blessings that God and Jesus have provided me
yep.
by continuing to live in this hatred.
Yep. And it's the whole idea that when we forgive others, we are walking in the will of God.
Sure.
That's what he wants for us. And think about how you cannot walk against the will of God and receive the grace of God at the same time. We want the grace of God. And if we want the grace of God, we want to walk in the will of God. And God's will is that we be, it goes all the way back, circled around back to the 12:2, to be renewed with the transforming of our minds so that we can really live in the will of God, so that we can understand and we can live in the perfect will of God.
Sure.
And so this whole thing is an exercise in living a life that the number one thing that steals, talk about heaven now, that steals the peace of living in that heaven has been brought to earth. The number one thing that steals our peace is unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at. So why wouldn't we want to work on this more? Why wouldn't we want to open ourselves up and surrender to the idea that we can experience less bitterness and more peace?
And I think people mistake forgiveness as forgetting.
Sure. They mistake, what they do is they tie in, okay, if I'm going to forgive, now I have to trust.
Sure.
And they're two completely different issues. Forgiveness is something that I do for someone. And by the way, I do that for me. God gave it as a gift for us to have for ourselves so that I don't continue to drink this stuff and think that it's
bitter.
Good. And think that it's going to taste good.
Sure.
No, for like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Sure.
The other person to be affected. That's not what it's about. It's about you not holding on to the bitterness. That's the forgiveness. And then the trust is on them. They're the ones who are responsible for becoming trustworthy. You don't have to give your trust away. As a matter of fact, that's one of the smartest things that we do is we create boundaries.
Hmm.
And we have boundaries in place so that we don't continue to get hurt by that same individual or by that same situation. And so it's two separate issues. The forgiveness piece is a gift for the forgiver as much as it is for the forgiven.
Right. I forgive you of what you did, but I don't forget it.
Mm-mm.
So if I loan you my lawnmower and you give it back all broken up, I forgive you. But ask me to borrow my lawnmower again.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't trust you with the lawnmower until you show me a reason to begin to trust you with the lawnmower again.
Yep.
So I forgive you so that I walk in peace and freedom.
Yep.
But I don't forget. And so, you know, too many people are in relationships where somebody does something wrong and, you know, hurts us, and then they come and apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. Forgive me. And now the person is caught. Do I forgive them and stay in the relationship? Do I forgive them and pretend like it never happened? Because that's what the offender wants us to do.
Yeah.
Is to take the apology and then pretend it never happened.
Right.
But you can forgive so that you walk in peace and freedom, but they have to earn that trust back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to forget the offense. If you're going to stay in that relationship, they can work on earning that trust back.
Yeah.
But there's nothing saying you have to stay in the relationship.
That's right. Yeah. What we're trying to get at is you not being broken, and 9 times out of 10, all of this has to do with some kind of a relationship, but you being broken from a relationship and then continuing to, even though the relationship is not even existing anymore, you continue to walk in that relationship in the brokenness because you will not forgive. And again, forgiving is for you to be able to let go of that hurt and then walk in some freedom. But again, not forgetting.
Right.
So that because you control you. How many times are we going to say this?
Well, I think that's where the fundamentals fit in, because the question then becomes, how do I do that?
There you go.
How do I forgive? And it's the changing of how you think that allows you then to access a concept such as forgiveness. So sure. Fundamental number one, I don't control. We're okay. Fundamental number one. I don't control what you do, think, or feel.
Yeah.
I don't control the past.
Right.
And I don't control the future. So you offend, well, that's on you. So I don't control that you're offensive. I don't control that you offended yesterday. So I get into the present moment and I stand on this side. You mentioned boundaries. Mm-hmm. I stand on this side of the boundary and I look over the fence at you and I begin to critically think about you. You have chosen to tear up my lawnmower. You did that last week and you didn't tell me about it. So this isn't about me. This is about you and your offensive behavior. Fundamental number two, should versus want. Is this a law? You should have told me you shouldn't have wrecked my lawnmower. And if you're going to wreck my lawnmower, you should have bought me a new one. Are these laws? Now, if it is, and we're talking lawnmower, but if it's a car.
Sure.
If it's infidelity in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a law, but it is certainly a grounds to divorce somebody legally. So if you shouldn't have done that, now there's an equal and opposite should on me. How do I handle this situation legally? So if you shouldn't have torn up my lawnmower, now I am supposed to handle it legally by going to small claims court and filing a claim on you. Mm. He broke my lawnmower. Got it right here, Your Honor. But I could file a lawsuit. If you are infidelous towards me and towards our marriage, I have every right to go file for a divorce. The example I always use is if you're driving down the highway, 65, got your two hands on the wheel, and somebody goes by you at 90 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic, about takes your front bumper off, they shouldn't drive like that, right?
Right.
Do you have a right to go chase after them down the highway now, yelling and screaming, pull them aside and give them what for?
Unfortunately, no.
How are you supposed to respond when somebody is driving crazy on the highway?
Call the popo.
You're supposed to pull over, call the police, make a report. So take that same formula and apply it to you break my lawnmower. You shouldn't have done that. Now, do I have a right to go over to your house, yell and scream, pull you aside, tell you what for?
I've seen it.
Do I have a right to do that?
You do not.
No. How am I supposed to handle it? I'm supposed to get my lawnmower back, assess the damage, get it fixed, file a lawsuit, and make the judge see the sense of you paying the $275 to fix my lawnmower.
Sure.
If you wreck my car, same thing. I don't go running after you, chasing you down. If you are infidelity towards me, if you fool around in our marriage, I don't have the right to chase you down the hallway, pull you aside, and yell and scream. If you shouldn't have fooled around on me, then there are legal remedies, legal options for me. I can move out. I can file a separation. I can file a divorce. I can move in with my mother, ask you to go to counseling. There's a million options. I control me.
Yep.
I don't control you.
Right.
So how am I going to feel about all of this? Am I going to give you total control over me and walk around as a victim every day, every single day, all day long, crying about how you fooled around on me 10 years ago, crying about how I can't mow my lawn because you tore up my lawnmower? Or I'm going to say, you know what? Mike's offensive. How am I going to deal with this? I'm going to cut him out of my life. I'm going to go buy a new lawnmower. I'm not even going to mess with Mike anymore. I'm going to get my own new lawnmower. Screw Mike. I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I control me, what I think, what I do, what I feel. And I, in doing this, in setting my boundaries and focusing my energy, I've been offended. Now, how am I going to respond? I'm going to forgive you by letting go of you, letting go of what you did, and taking care of myself. You know what? That guy right there doesn't want to do business with us. I forgive him. Now let's go talk to the next guy. You know what? My wife did this. You know what? I forgive her. Now, I'm not going to. How I respond determines how I'm going to feel in this situation. It's not going to be happy, happy, joy, joy all the time.
Yeah.
But I forgive you. It's in the past. I can't change what you did. I'm not letting go of it. I'm letting it be where it exists. It exists in the past. I live in the present. And figuring out a way to bring yourself into this present moment, separate yourself from other people, allows you to step away physically, mentally, emotionally, and then choose how you're going to live your life now that you have been through this. So, you know, we played the Jocko video a couple months ago.
Yep.
And people will still reference that with me. Good. And when something goes bad, his response is
good.
Now, it's not good. Everybody can agree. Right. Why would he say it's good? Well, is he trying to make it good? Is he trying to figure out a way? No, it is called irony. Mm. Irony, an ironic statement, means the complete opposite. So when, you know, we didn't get the job, good is irony. I don't think it's a good thing. That's why I'm saying good. But for him, for Jocko, that is a tool, a mechanism, a mental step that he has come up with for himself that allows him to separate from the situation. We didn't get the job. Good. Now that's in the past. Now that was their decision, and it allows him to turn to what he has control over.
Exactly. Yeah. He's maintaining control of what he controls by saying good.
Mike now returns my lawnmower broken. Huh, good. Gives me a chance to go buy a new lawnmower.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
You know, right. You broke the lawnmower. We can't make it, you know, come back together. We can't change what you did.
Yep.
How am I going to respond?
Yep. And I think that when we begin to figure this out and we begin to actually walk it out, a lot of the little things that we have been offended by, or we have allowed ourselves to be offended by, a lot of the molehills that we're making mountains out of, we just right. become habitually offended. That begins to change, because all of those things are, you know, it's not even worth our time. The difference, I think there's two types of people in the world, the people who see the world and are offended, and the people who see the world and are saying, like Jocko, well, good. Okay. Now, so what can we do with this?
Here's what you're going to do with it. We're going to wrap up with this exercise.
Okay, let's do it.
Jesus said forgive, right?
He did.
Okay, well, did he set a time frame on that?
About an hour. Nope, no time frame.
And this is what you got to ask yourself, and you got to ask your friends, you got to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for me to be angry and resentful over something for a year? Is that okay?
Wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. Mike's not being committal here. If a year's not good, how about 6 months? Is it okay to be angry about something for 6 months?
I don't think so.
How about 3 months? Would you sit with me in the bar for 3 months while I continue to go over and over and over it every night? 3 months okay?
Probably not.
1 month?
Nope.
Can I hear 1 month here? Can I get 1 month of complaining and whining and wallowing in the mud?
Not with me.
How about a week? Will you give me a week of whining every day, all day, every night?
No.
How about a day? Can I get a full day of just whining and wallowing and being angry and resentful?
Well, I don't control you, so.
The question is always, okay, forgive, but when? And if we are to be more Christ-like, if we are going to follow his example, and he said love and forgive others, when did Christ forgive you?
Even before
you were born.
Exactly.
So here's the exercise. Try this out. Try this out with somebody at work. Try this out with one of your kids. Try this out with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're going to do is going to tick you off. You know. You know your kids. You know your spouse. You know what's coming. When you walk in the door, you already know. Yeah, you don't know, but you know them well enough that you can reasonably predict what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, when something happens. So here's the challenge. As you're driving home today, forgive them before you walk in the door. Say to yourself, you know, when I get inside, she's not going to have dinner ready for me. I am being totally stereotypical here, ladies, I understand. But the example, she's not going to have dinner ready for me.
Sure.
I forgive her. That's okay.
Yep.
Now walk in the door and see no dinner on the table and imagine how that's going to go. Mm. You know one of your kids is going to draw on the wall with a crayon. They're kids. Forgive them now. And then walk in the door and see the crayon on the wall. Imagine. Right now, imagine how you might respond when you've already forgiven them and you walk in the door and there's the crayon. I knew it was going to be there. Son, come here. Get a sponge. Try this. And see if things don't go differently for you. Hmm. Forgive them before they offend. And then see how you feel and how you handle it when you walk in and that offense is occurring.
Walking with a heart of forgiveness. Not waiting for the offense to happen, but literally walking in a heart of forgiveness.
When I turn on the news, I know they're going to say something that's upsetting to me. So here we go. Let me turn on the news. Mm-hmm. I forgive them, you know, before I turn on the news. That guy at work, he's not going to do his job. He's going to sit at his desk and play with paper airplanes. You know what? I know that. I know Roger. I know how he acts at work. Mm-hmm. And You're hearing some buzz phrases come to your mind as I'm saying these things. Right, you know, I can't control him. You know what? He's going to do what he's going to do. You know what? It's his job. He's, if he wants to lose it, he can. What we're doing is we're good.
Yep.
We're separating from that situation. I don't control it. What I control is me.
Yeah.
How well I do my job, where my future goes, and I'm going to learn from having to work at a company with a guy who doesn't pull his weight. How am I going to handle that? How will I take this situation and turn it towards my benefit?
Towards the good. The good.
The good.
That's good stuff.
It's good.
I like
it. It's good.
I'm going to do it.
Forgive people.
Yes.
Forgiveness. We all need forgiveness.
Even if you don't love me anymore. Thank you, Doc. It was good.
All right. And we've been Just These Guys. I'm Lance.
And I'm Mike.
And we will catch you next week.
Have an awesome week.